This is part two of In the Corner Back by the Woodpiles interview with Nabiz Carter. Okay, so let's get to ISIS. Mm-hmm. Now, you're in communication with your family and yes. your friends. Have they been affected by?
Luckily, no. Mm-hmm. They live in Kirkuk.
So ISIS hasn't reached there.
Yet. Oh, no. The ISIS is around, but the Peshmerga don't let them to be in Kirkuk
at all. So they cannot penetrate?
No, yeah. They cannot penetrate to Kirkuk at all. But from what I have seen in the news and social media, they are barbarian forces. They are even... I did not expect or believe that as a person being in touch with US forces fighting Qaeda. I did not thought there would be some other group more terrifying and barbarian than Qaeda, which really? Is they are. And the interesting and strange thing about them, there's a lot of Western fighters with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of them, they are converts to, the converters new to Islam, mm-hmm. or some of them, they just, I don't know, maybe I would call it so, brainwashed people, mm-hmm. because there's people from even US, mm-hmm. there's people from Europe, there's mm-hmm. even from Asia, which is, it's really, it's mind-boggling. Right. Like,
it's just heartbreaking that people would travel the world just to come...
To kill people.
Kill people, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's... And especially if you, like, as I've been in the war zone, mm-hmm. and I... Like, it's really hard for you to understand, to go from a place to place, a country to country, mm-hmm. to go to fight or involve yourself mm-hmm. on such an act. Because if you are not from that area, you don't know what is really going on, mm-hmm. you would be misled. And you would end up in a disaster.
There's a famous picture of a Kurdish fighter, a woman, Rihanna, I think is her name. Mm-hmm. Do you know this?
Yes.
Yeah. As maybe trivial as that is, it did again, I think, bring to light the situation that the Kurds are fighting ISIS, mm-hmm. maybe better than
Kurdish fighting ISIS right now better than any force
right.
I can personally say in the war,
uh-huh.
because with the very basic equipment, especially the town of Kobani. They are resisting to give up and don't let ISIS to penetrate through that small town with all their huge equipment, their overcome numbers. Because as you know, they got all the Iraqi army equipment, which yeah. is it was all like brand new heavy equipment from US. Mm-hmm. But even though with that being said, they couldn't defeat that small town mm-hmm. and those... Females, those women who fighting there, they are just like remarkable because uh-huh. they never been trained. They are not real fighters, uh-huh. but they have a principle and they want to even either live or die and not be under control of those barbarian force. And they are all very, very young women uh-huh. from like 16 to 25.
Wow. Most of them are unmarried, you think?
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. Oh, yes. Most of them unmarried. It's remarkable. As I said, I was with the U.S. Army for over 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like, the women was, they were in U.S. Army, they were not a real fighters. They uh-huh. were always as a logistic, as a medic, uh-huh. as a driver, uh-huh. as a RTO, and so on. But these women, they are not. They are in front of the bullet. Okay. And they do not hesitate to fight.
So I shouldn't pick a fight with a... Kurdish woman.
I would not do it myself too. And that's why I did not marry the Kurdish woman.
Very good. The song you just heard.
Right.
You want to talk about the singer and the song and what it's about?
The singer, Adnan Karim, he's originally from Kirkuk, my hometown. The guy is really educated guy. He grew up from a rich family in both financially and grew up in a very educational environment. Because of the bad situations in what Saddam's regime have done to the Kurdish and forced them to leave the city, they moved to Sulaymaniyah, which is in Kurdistan, north of Iraq. And then he continues to study there. Then he went with all his family. They went to Europe. What makes him like kind of unique to me and to almost every other Kurd? He sticks with the real deep Kurdish culture songs. And he uses the 18th and 17th century poems from Kurdish poets.
So he won't be doing any Kurdish hip hop soon?
I don't think so, because that's because that's not his style.
Right.
Yeah, his style is really kind of... I'm not saying it's serious. Sometimes it's so serious it makes you to be bored. He sings about love. He sings about love of your land or country and so on. But that specific song, he talks about the small town of Kobani, how they resist and stand for their rights, and they literally every single adult in that small town got his gun and fought against ISIS until, which is kind of a miracle, and ISIS could not control it, which they controlled at least half of Syria, but they could not do it just because those people didn't want to live under those barbarian.
Kid bijitun habtni chave kurdani kobani. Kid bijitun habtni.
What are some things from Kurdish history that you feel you would like others to know? A lot of people say that Kurds are descended from the Medes, mm-hmm. Which they show up in a lot of literature, Western literature.
Yeah, that's why the Armenian Empire became or established next to the Persian Empire. Mm-hmm. And they always, as they say, Medes are like the grandfathers of Kurdish. I think it's a big events in the history for Kurdish when it started from there. Then in the new century, like 20th century, the Republic of Mahabad, which is the Kurdish country, uh-huh. which is was ruled or declared by Qazi Muhammad, which is called Judge Muhammad. It continued for only 11 months, and after that they destroyed it.
What year was that?
Was 1946. I feel like for myself, with someone in my age, I feel like one of the gains of the Kurdish, it was in 1991, after the Gulf War, when the Kurdish kind of separated from Iraq, and they have their own region, and they established it and started from, literally from zero. There is nothing to live on or start with, but they hold up on it and until they reach where they are right now. Because I remember my uncle, he was there on that region in Hawler. He says, I did not realize that. He told us after years and years. He said, in the winter, we didn't have anything to burn, even no trees left. He says, we were going to the street, break the street and the asphalt, bring it home and try to burn it to warm the house.
Yeah. Wow.
So when I think about it, despite all of the people may be sometimes not happy with the government, there's corruption, there's no perfection everywhere. But from what I have seen of what I have experienced 2 years ago with my wife in Kurdistan, it's a big, big jump.
I wanted to know if there were any exceptional individuals in recent Kurdish history.
As a politician, I'm very proud and interested about the personality and achievements of Jalal Talabani, the former president, and he's sick right now. You cannot, like, people cannot see him on TV, but he is a very diplomatic, very smart person, very peaceful toward everyone, even the so-called enemies of the Kurdish. He is always like negotiating instead of going to war or for the safety of both sides. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that, he started from as a very simple fighter in mountains of Kurdistan with his own wife. He founded his party from a group of very educated Peshmerga, such as doctors and engineers and lawyers, to reach to a level to be globally known, and then be a president with the election.
Wow. Murder. Yeah. Again, I'm just a casual observer of Kurdish history. But one thing I seem to notice is they all have an ability to forgive much better or much easier, it seems, than other people's.
That's true.
Why do you think that is? And do you ever think back to how you were raised and think like, oh, this is why we do this?
I feel like we've been under pressure and not fair treatment from
everybody. Everybody. I mean, it's you guys, it's like everybody's taking a turn at kicking you guys.
Yes.
And even my own country, sadly, you know, at times.
Maybe sometimes, yeah. But
neglected. I was, maybe America's neglected you in the
and
past.
That's because of the politicians. Is that's the way it goes.
Right, right.
But I think, I don't know, it's a nature. It's genes in us is like that, or it's because of we went through a lot from different nations or from different people. Then when you see a very simple good treatment, you really evaluate it as a very big thing.
I see. I still want to ask about this. Like, okay, so for example, a majority of Kurds are Muslim, right?
Right.
And of course, most Arabs are Muslim. But there's a difference.
Yes.
And what do you think is that difference?
Okay. That difference is, I would believe, first of all, it's personal. I believe...
And I know that there are, like in Turkey, there are some unforgiving Kurds.
Yes.
Some. But yes. I mean, they're really a super minority. And
yes, right.
So I do want to acknowledge that they do exist.
There is.
But yes. For some reason, a majority...
Majority is very forgiveness.
Yeah.
I feel like Arabs, they interacted Islam with their culture. And they're like being a pure Arab, like in Bedouin, like they are just tough and rough in their normal life. They were. So I think that's kind of escalated the...
So how would a Kurd regard Islam in their daily life? How is that different from the Arabs?
In daily life, it's the same. Like, you pray or do you practice Islam the same? But with that being said, when I talk about Arab, I talk about Iraq. Because you cannot talk about Arab as whole the Arab countries. Correct. Because, first of all, I did not grow up with the whole the Arab countries. Uh-huh. And I don't have experience with them.
Okay.
But and especially in Iraq, I say Saddam's power or Saddam's people. They were doing all this stuff by name of Islam, which is they were totally away from humanity and Islam and every religion that exists before. And that's one of the reasons made a lot of even Kurds don't like Islam or
really?
Hate it. Yes. Because, you know, you got that kind of feeling like I've been treated this way, or my parents, my sister got killed in front of me by name of Islam. Why would I do that? Why would I like that? Even though they know it's not right, but you just, it's emotion.
The Kurds that you've seen abandon Islam, I assume you have seen this.
Mm-hmm.
What do they replace it with something else? Or what do they do?
A lot of times they don't replace it with anything else. A lot of times they're just being kind of atheist. Yes, a lot of times. But there's not a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the reason, back to the question or your point.
Sorry. I'm chasing squirrels.
Which yeah. Squirrel. It's good.
Yeah.
I feel like as Kurdish, we practice Islam as a religion, and then I practice being Kurdish as my identity too. And I don't mix with them. And if you understand both of them would lead to the good path. The most important thing, I don't use them for my personal purposes.
Do you remember your parents teaching you about forgiveness?
My parents did, and I think from Islam too. It's from both, but I would say it's mostly from my family too, as a Kurdish family.
And how did they teach us to you? Because it's one thing to tell people, okay, it's better to forgive.
Yeah.
But a lot of times...
I believe my family were just like telling me, if you forgive someone, Allah, God will forgive you too. Yeah. So you need to
it's always... in the Christian...
Exactly. Yeah, okay. You need to...
If you want to be forgiven, you got to forgive.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's great. Yeah. And somehow it gets lost in other...
It gets lost because we are humans. It's not necessary. We have a saying in Kurdish. We say, in your own hands, you have five fingers that are all not the same.
Uh-huh.
So you not expect to everyone, even in your own family, to be like you.
Kurdistan is not an official country yet.
Right.
Right. It's an area of Iraq.
It's an area of Iraq. It has its own rules and governors. Mm-hmm. That's what they call it, the KRG, Kurdish Regional Government.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of confederate region.
Yes. It's a little bit how maybe some states would be in America. They have their own.
Exactly. Own, yeah. Exactly.
Do you feel that Kurds will get their own country eventually? And should they? Because, people argue about this.
Yes. See, talking about country, I don't follow emotions when I talk about that. Mm-hmm. I want to be more realistic and see to the situation. And
practical,
yes. Yeah, practical. Mm-hmm. And the situation of the area. And globally, too. For the moment, I don't think there's a chance of Kurdish to be a country. Or there's a Kurdish country. Mm-hmm. There's reasons. First of all, the Kurdish, they are not only in Iraq or Syria. There's like a couple countries, they're concentrated there. Like north of Iraq, south of Turkey, and Syria, and south the west of Iran. So when you talk about country, you need to include all that area and the Kurdish properties or Kurdish territories where the Kurdish lives for years and years to be part of that country. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you would not have, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you, let's say you have of United States be a country, then another have another country,
right.
Which is this, you know, you see my point.
Yes, yeah.
So I think that's really hard with all the political and global influences in it. But as KRG right now, I feel like I think it's more stable and stronger than even if we have a country.
So there's some benefit to being part of Iraq still.
Yes, okay. Yeah, because you don't have a better choice. The other reason, when you have a country, you need to have your like base for the country. You need to have natural resources. You need to have like. To be qualified to rule the country, it's not as easy to just like because in Kurdistan we have right now everything. There's a special forces, there's Kurdish army, there's a flag, there's even own language. We have own language and system in every way, but it's not only that. You cannot be a country and then hold the bordering country is not supporting you, then you cannot live with if there is no supporting, there is no political and commercial trades, supports for you. So I think being a part of Iraq for now, it's the best shot for Kurdish.
Okay, so teach us a little standard Kurdish. If I wanted to say hello.
You say choni.
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 Choni, okay. Goodbye.
Khwa hafiz.
Khwa hafiz.
Khwa hafiz.
Okay, thank you.
Spas.
Swas.
Supas.
Supas.
Bale. Yes.
Okay.
Bale means yes.
Bala?
Bale.
Bale means yes. Okay. No.
Nah.
Nah.
You can say nah or say nacher.
Okay. What's the word for American?
Ameriki.
Ameriki. Ah, it's a transliteration.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Bubura.
Bubura.
Vale.
If people want to contact you, have any questions, how can they do that?
They can email me, nabazkm@hotmail.com.
In the Corner, Back by the Woodpile podcast is produced by A Closet, A Pocket, and A Suitcase. You can email us at spuncounterguy@hotmail.com. And a special thanks to thebrofisticate.com.